Okay, Rabbi Isai, Parshas Vayechi is really an end of an epoch, end of an era. Yaakov Vinu, the Bechira Avos, is this parsha basically is a parsha of Yaakov Vinu dying, and the last few days of his life, how he calls in Yosef from Nashon Ephraim, and how he brings in the Shvatim and he gives them the well-known brachas. We call them brachas, which in fact difficult to see how all of them are brachas, but there were brachas, and he gives them the last piece of advice. Now, most fathers would attempt the final moments of their life to become popular, to try and appease their sons, to apologize for their they didn't do enough for their children, to ask them to get on with one another. And Yaakov Avinu here uses these moments to give scathing rebuke. Some of them he praises, some of them he gives musa to. But obviously, what we have to know, understand, is that the calculation, every single word Yaakov Avinu used, every tiny motion he made towards one shevet over the other, was of course calculated and supposed to last not only for that generation, but message that should last forever and ever. I don't think one has to be too much involved in current affairs, completely absorbed in what's going on now in the media, to understand that there is some serious confusion in many, many sectors of society exactly what is considered good and what is considered bad. What is considered worthwhile fighting for l'shem shemayim, and what is considered absolute chil Hashem if one uses a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name for the sake of one's agenda that one believes is correct. In other words, when Klal Yisrael have sectors of within the Klal that believe that doing a particular action is considered for the sake of Ribbono Shel Olam, one has to be very, very careful to establish that is true. And unless one is absolutely positive that the results and the decision is based on Das Torah, the results that happen after that can actually prove to us and show us just how catastrophic, just how terrible it could be if a person takes on decisions himself. And we've seen that. And this week's parasha is dealing with Mamash that Nakuda. This week's parasha is dealing with Yaakov Avinu speaking to Shivtei Kor and trying to identify the motive and trying to identify the flaws on a very, very small wrong decisions they made of the Shem Shemayim. Yaakov Avinu is not going to see one of the Shvatim and tell them, you're a ganav. Another one of the Shvatim, you're a thief. Yaakov Avinu is working with those who are the Bechir of Klal Yisrael. Those are the ones who the whole Klal Yisrael trace back their roots to. And therefore, if there's any flaw within their actions, it could have been so microscopic and slight. It only takes a father, Yaakov Avinu, and a Novi, in certain instances, to understand exactly where they went wrong and why it's important to establish and to make sure that they don't go wrong from there again. And therefore, I believe this message that Yaakov Avinu gave over to the Shvatim of basing your decisions and how to make decisions, and if you did make decisions, to know if the decision was correct, and if you didn't make the correct decision, and what to do about it, is all based in this week's parasha. The parasha in Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Aleph, talks about Yaakov Avinu calling in his sons. Yikra Yaakov Abonav, Vayomer Heosu Vegidu Lechem, Eis Asher Yikra Eschem Achas Yomim. Gather together, and I will tell you what will happen at the end of the days. In Pasuk Gimel, he begins with Reuven. Reuven b'chir yato. Reuven, you are my b'chir. Koichi v'reishis oini. You are my strength and the beginning of my oini. Okay, beginning of Yaakov's future. Yese se'eis v'yese oz. Pachas k'mayi maltoisa. Here is Yaakov Avinu goes immediately into Reuven's floor. Pachas k'mayi maltoisa. You were too fast, you were too quick, you were too of a zoriz. What happened was talking about the story of Reuven when Rachel died. Reuven, for the sake of his mother's cupboard, took the bed from the shivcha of Rachel and brought it back into his mother's tent. Yaakov Avinu said to him, "Pachas kamayim al toisa." That was too quick. That was done with zrizus. That was not done with enough thought. And he said, "Os chalalti yitzui olo." And you completely, you mabalbel my yitzua. You messed up. And by doing so, Reuven lost. Not only did he lose being the Bechor, he lost being the Melech, and he lost being the Kohen. He lost everything. He lost everything he could possibly have, as a Bechor he could have gained, he lost by this action. My Rebbe, Reb Chaim Kaufman, Zeche Tzadik Levracha, I remember he says it often, and he's found it in the Sefer Na'an, in Mincha Shemen, Mamash word for word, the way I remembered it. He says, Yaakov Avinu criticized Reuven for being a Zoriz. He criticized him for being quick. He criticized him for doing an action that was hasty. On the other hand, we find that one of the greatest middos a person can have is Zrizus. Zrizus is a healthy thing. Zrizus is correct. To do something quickly, to do something with enthusiasm, to do something which is even sometimes questionable, but to do it with a zrizus in a way that the Shem Shemayim, it seems is a good thing, and it's one of the good midas, one of the good middas. So when is it a middah? When is zrizus something that's bad? And Yaakov Avinu says to you, Reuven, you've lost everything, you lost the Bechor, you lost the Malchus, you lost Kahuna because of what you did. And when is zrizus a good thing that we encourage to do it? So my rabbis say, we explain it with two mice of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim, as you all know, lived in Radin, lived in Poland, and when he was already one of the Gedolei Torah in Poland, he made tremendous efforts to move to Eretz Yisrael. And he made tremendous arrangements to go through with it. And the Gedolim at the time, I'm not sure exactly who they were, I think it was Reb Chaim Moizer, and many other Gedolim at the time were very, very upset with that decision. And they felt that if the Chofetz Chaim left Poland, who knows what will be with Klal Yisrael there. And they put tremendous pressure on him to forget about the idea, but the Chofetz Chaim went forward with it. Until the Chofetz Chaim's wife became very, very sick, just before he was about to make the trip, and the Chofetz Chaim took that as a simon min hashamayim to abort the operation. That's, he's not going to go to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to stay here. I think this may have happened again, I'm not sure exactly the exact history, but the Chofetz Chaim aborted the operation from the Simon Min HaShemayim. On the other hand, when the Chofetz Chaim wanted to bring out the Mishnah Berurah, prior to that he had a business, he couldn't call it a successful business, but certainly something that kept him financially stable, and at the stage where he's ready to print the Mishnah Berurah, he had one clap after the other. He had terrible, terrible hardships financially, to the extent that he became an Oni Murud. He was total poverty. And the Chofetz Chaim stood up one day and he shouted. And he said, Sotten sollst du wissen sein. You should know the Sotten. Oy, du willst mir anhalten. Ophalten from drucken the Mishnah Berurah, kannst du machen was du willst, was gar nicht helfen. Ich gehe weiter gehen. If you want to stand up and try and stop me bringing out the Mishnah Berurah, you're wasting your time. I'm going to plunge forward. I'm going to plow ahead. I'm going to do everything I can to bring out the Mishnah Berurah. Don't waste your time with me. I promise you, the Mishnah Berurah is going to come out. So Reb Chaim Kaufman asked, why was it one decision? He saw Siman Min HaShemayim to abort the operation. He basically did not go to Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, he saw terrible difficulties. And other Abba, he got strengthened by it. He saw the Yetzer Hara is trying to stop him. Must be, it's a good thing. So why in one case did he abort it? In another case, other Abba, he took that as a sign how important it is that Yetzer Hara tries to stop and try and go forward. What's the difference? So he said this, the difference is very, very simple. When a person has a suffix what to do, when things aren't so clear what should be done, when there's a decision that's based on variables, that it's not exactly 100% clear what the outcome should be, then a person's got to tread very, very carefully. One's got to tread very carefully. And in that case, if there's a Siman Min HaShemayim, a Kodesh Baruch is giving him a message to go in one direction, then you have to take that seriously. Leaving to go to Eretz Yisrael is a tremendous mitzvah to go live in Eretz Yisrael and to build up Eretz Yisrael's permanent mitzvah. On the other hand, what's going to happen with his yeshiva? What will happen with his kehillah? What will happen with his talmidim he has there? And therefore, it's a very difficult decision to make. There were variables that were pushing one way and another. On the other hand, if that was the case, Chofetz Chaim took a siman min hashamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him a message, and therefore he understood the message and did not go to Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, when something is clear, when it's obvious that there's nothing wrong with printing a Mishnah Berurah, in fact, you know, we know today that, you know, how many of us would know the halacha anywhere near as well without having the Mishnah Berurah? If it's clear that that was what's necessary, if that's clear that is Das Torah, if it's clear that's Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you can have the greatest nisyonos, the greatest signs min hashamayim, that you shouldn't be doing that, but you ignore them. That's part of the nisyon. You ignore it. The Sahara can try all these tricks, it will not help you. The famous Gemara, the Gemara talks about in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, the Machlokes Reb Lezer Chachamim by the Tanor Shel Achnoi. Remember that famous Machlokes, the famous story? And Reb Lezer held one thing, Chachamim held something else. And eventually, they were fighting in the Beis Medrash, and the Chachamim brought all their svaros, and Reb Lezer managed to answer Kol Tshuvoi Shuvoilam, Gemara says. They answered every answer in the world. Himamish was holding his ground fantastically. The Chachamim didn't buy it. So what did Blessa say? If I'm correct, Charoiv Zeh Yichyach, let this carob tree prove it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need proof now, not through my learning, through Metzias Olam, from Teva, through nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get involved over here. And he said, let this carob tree prove it. The carob tree uprooted itself and flew in the air. Some say 100 amos, some say 500 amos. The Chazal were not, the Chachamim were one bit impressed. So he said, the charuv is not mechiach, does not show us what we do. So he says, amasamai mechiach, let the stream prove it. And there's a stream outside the basement which started flowing the opposite direction. Can you imagine? The whole stream started flowing the opposite direction. It started going back upstream. He said, we're not impressed. He said, let koisei beis medrash mechiach, let the koisei in the beis medrash, let the walls of the beis medrash prove it. And the walls started crumbling in, the walls started falling in, caving in. And he said, the Kaiser base mentioned not Yechiach, I'm not impressed. He said, Min HaShemayim Yechichu, let Shemayim, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, from a baskol Min HaShemayim, tell us what the halacha is. And a baskol came out from Shemayim and it said, Malachem Eitzer Reb Elezer. What are you doing with the brother? What are you fighting with him for? Halacha K'moisek B'chol Mokim, halacha is like him. And what did he say? Omad Rabbi Shua Raglov, Rabbi Shua stood up and he said, can you imagine? People would panic. Wow, look at this, a moifus. Torah lav min hashamayim hi. We're not impressed. Torah is not from Shemayim. Thank you very much, Baskoil. Thank you very much, nature. Churubim flying, amasamayim, close of it makes no slightest bit of difference. We have Das Torah. And Das Torah tells us, Masorah teaches us Torah lav min hashamayim, take a hike, Baskoil. We don't follow the halacha like you. We have our own halacha. All this morning min hashamayim. But if we know what we're doing, we can be determined and we can carry on and follow through with our decision, however difficult and however simonim that are against us. But if we don't know what we're doing is right, if we have a slightest sofek, if we don't have the Messiah behind us and we're not sure whether we're following Das Torah, if we are going along in our merry ways without a Rebbe behind us, that we can't ask him, then that is a problem, that was Reuven's problem. He should have asked Yaakovina before he did it. It's for your covet of your mother, it's Rizus, maybe, but maybe not. Maybe you're doing something a little bit hastily. And that decision, based on Rizus, out of place Rizus, created all the problems for Reuven. So the first message is, if you know what you're doing is right, absolutely, with Das Torah behind you, if you ask Das Torah, we have Messiris behind us, then we can go ahead and nothing can stop us, even a Baskol Min HaShemayim. But if you don't know, and we think we're doing something right, and it's a Zoris act, it's an act of Kanos, or Zerizus, and you don't have somebody backing you up, telling you this is correct, that's our Masaira, then Chas V'Chalil, a person can lose everything they have. That's lesson number one. Sometimes one's in a position that one can't always ask. It's not always practical to go and ask a Shaila. It's a man having, there's a certain time where somebody did him an Avla. A neighbor did him something wrong. So the shayla now is, should I tell my neighbor off for the sake of peace for the neighbor? In other words, I can't allow this to carry on, otherwise who knows what will happen to the neighborhood? Or is there something happening over here that is kas and gaiva and taiva and covered and jealousy that's making you do what you do? How does a person know at that stage? You can't ask a rov. It's not practical to go and ask. It's not always something that one can ask and put through as a shaila. It's a momentary thing. How does one know if one goes through the decision whether the maisa decision was right or wrong? So there's a famous maisa. It's a beautiful sefer, by the way, called Divrei Yecheskel. Divrei Yecheskel was the son of the Tzanzer Rav, of Divrei Chaim Tzanz. Very controversial chassidus, shinov. He broke away from the Tzanzer Rav. Tzanzer Rav was one of the Divrei Chaim, one of the greatest poskim, chassidus poskim, and his son, the Shinov Rav, broke away from him. A whole maisa with chalemus, a very, very complicated story, but he broke away. And he started a gewaldig chassidus, a very, very strong chassidus. My great-great-grandparents were shinov chassidim. And there's once a story that the son of the Baal Divrei Simcha, the Rebbe from Chechenov, which was, I believe, the son of the Shunavah, got married, and at the Chasna, his father-in-law, Mizekala's father, gave a Dvar Torah. And I'm not sure who he was. I think he must be connected to the Bells of Chassidim. I'm not sure, because the Chassidim wasn't Bells. I'm not sure exactly what happened. And all the Chassidim pushed forward. It was on Shabbos. It must have been during the Sheva Brachos or something. And all the Chassidim pushed forward. Not all. The Chassidim pushed forward to hear what the Rebbe has to say. And in that push and shove, a couple of the candles fell down and went out. The candles on the table, they knocked over and they went out. So when he finished speaking, the Shin of Rav said, I'd like to say a few words, if you don't mind. He says, there's a very interesting posuk. The posuk says, at the end of the parasha, Perik Nun, posuk with base. This is referring to Yaakov Avinu's wish that he should be taken out of Mitzrayim. The posuk says, Vayasu bonav loy kein kashit zivon. And his children did to him so, like he commanded them. Vayasu bonav loy kein kashit zivon. It's not very elegant, this pasuk. If you look up shuto, v'yasu bonav loy kashet zivon. What's v'yasu bonav loy kain kashet zivon? Or v'yasu bonav kain kashet zivon. V'yasu bonav loy kain. It doesn't seem to fit in the normal practice of flow of words. So he says, Rabbi Yisrael, I want to tell you something. Do you want to know if your decision you did was right or wrong? Very simple. Look carefully what happens after the decision you've made. What happens after that? In other words, if you've got a suffix whether something's right or wrong, and you did it, see what happens after you did it, whether a mitzvah follows that or an avera follows that. If a mitzvah follows that, then a mitzvah grows a mitzvah, then what you did was a mitzvah. If, however, an avera follows that, if the thing turns sour, you did one decision, and something, it turns sour, then another avera came out from that, you can know very well that what you did before was an avera as well, because avera grows avera. He said, that's Peshat the Pasuk. V'yasu bonav loy. If you want to know, bonav, we're all bonim atatim Hashem lekeichem, we're all children of Kodesh Baruch Hu, v'yasu bonav loy. If you want to know, if you're doing it loy for the Rebbeinu Shleilam, if you want to know it's doing the shame in Shem Shemaim, loy for his name, if you're doing it for him, if it's the Shem Shemaim, then Cain kashet zivon. Cain, if afterwards is Cain, if it's yes, kashet, it's yes if it's kashet zivon, if what happens after that was a mitzvah you did according to what he commanded you. So again, the yasubon of loy, is it done the Shem Shemaim? Was it done loy for Rein Shleilam? Cain, the answer would be yes if it's kashet zivon, if a mitzvah comes out from that afterwards. But if avera comes from that afterwards, then you can know the whole thing all the way along was an avera. So he says, Rabbi Yisrael, do you really think that what you did was correct? If you thought that pushing and shoving was correct, all the shame shemayim, there's no way a light would have been extinguished on Shabbos, would have been over Issa Shabbos. Maybe it's not over, it wasn't mazed, it wasn't shogeg, it was maybe Miss Asuk, who knows? But since no good came out from that. You can know that it was Chasson of Shem Shemaim over here. It was. I want to hear. You shouldn't hear. I want to hear. There's something missing over here. The Yaras of Bon of Loi. One knows Bon of Loi. Cain. It is if it's Kashit Sivim. Everything goes okay afterwards. The ends do not never ever justify the means. Ever. The Koska says, listen to Shafavot. The Koska says, by Yehuda Paskund, Yehuda Paskund Lahalacha, that Yosef is Chayv Misa. Yosef is Chayv Misa. Why is it Chayv Misa? Because he's a Rodef, and he we'll see later on the parasha, he's somebody who's trying to make Machlekas, he's Chayv Misa. He Paskund Lahalamaisa. When it came to killing him, what do Yehuda say? Yom Yehuda El Echov, Ma Betza. What do we gain? If you kill our brother and cover up his blood. What do you mean? You're backtracking now? You've got cold feet, Yehuda? That's not Yehuda. Yehuda does not have cold feet. Yehuda is the man of principles. He stands up and he gives his mouth. I mean, he can really stand up for his... Just now... No. Let's go back. What's going on? Says Akotska. Listen to this. This is so gewaldig. V'yoyime Yehuda el Echov. Ma betza kinara gesachinu. What good would there be if we have to kill our brother and we've got to cover up afterwards? V'chisinu estomli. If we've got to cover up afterwards, if we've got to clean up the operation and lie afterwards, that shows us that with all the cheshbonos we made prior to that, everything that we've concluded was wrong, was sheker. Because if we've got to lie and make up stories after that to make up to what's good beforehand, it shows that our calculations were wrong. If we go to Chasse Estom, if we can't come to say to Yaakovinu, we killed Yosef. You know why? Because we held in a din, in a base din, that he's Chayv Misa. If we've got to make Maisach up afterwards, it shows that it's flawed. If a person cannot put his name to a Petrik Killer, whatever it's called, they're called, these notices. This person is a Rodef, a Shaiger, this is a Chayv, you've got to kill him. And it says no name at the bottom. All it says is, Mate the Shem Shemaim. You can't say who it's speaking from. You've got to be Chasson of Sodom, you've got to make some kind of tricks. You can know the whole thing's a sheker. A person's got to be able to stand by his decisions and stand up and say, I did it, and I am the one responsible. That's Yehuda. And that's Gevaldik. Rabbi, it's a very interesting thing. Very, very interesting. If you notice, within Klal Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael have always been called Yehudim. Jews. From Judah. Right? Jews are from the word Judah. From Jews. Only recently has the nation of Jews called themselves Yisraelim. Israelis. Right? There's always a big question, very politically or religiously charged question, me who Yehudi, who's a Jew? There's always a big question, and who is a Jew? There's a very beautiful definition who a Jew is for Yonos ben Aziel. Who is a Jew? So the question is, a very, very strong question, why do we call ourselves Yehudim, after Yehuda? We aren't all from Shevi Yehuda. They're right, the Israelis are right. Israelis come from Israel, they come from Yisrael, they come from Yaakov Avinu, Le'yikro Shimcha Yaakov Oidki in Yisrael, call the name Yisrael, we're Israelis, we come from Eretz Yisrael, we come from Israel. Israel, Yisrael, that's what we call ourselves. Why do we call ourselves Yehudim, Jews? What's the idea behind that? Says Yonos ben Aziel, it's based on the Pasuk Nisvik's parasha. The Pasuk says, by Yehuda, Yehuda, ato yeducha achecho. Yehuda, ato yeducha achecho. What does that mean? Yehuda, ato yeducha achecho. What is the word ato, you, yeducha achecho? What does it mean? Yehuda, ato yeducha achecho. What does that mean? Says Yonos ben Aziel. Isn't this beautiful, beautiful piece? He says, Yehuda, ato yeducha achecho. Yehuda, ant edisa al uvda de tomo. Yehuda, you agreed. You stood up. You owned up to your actions. You took responsibility for your actions. You associated yourself with your actions. Yehuda, ato yeducha. You stood up for your actions. So he says, you know what the Schar going to get for that? Begin Cain, says Targum Yonos ben Aziel. Begin Kach, because of that. Lecha Yehuda nachecha. Your brothers would associate themselves with you. You associated yourselves with your action. Your brothers would associate the name of who they are with you. V'yiskerun Yehudon al-Shimcha. And they'll call themselves Jews on your name. In other words, what is a Jew? So the Yonos ben Aziel, what is a Jew? A Jew is somebody who can stand up and take responsibility for his actions and say, I am the one who decided X, Y, Z. If it's right, it's right. I know it. And if it's wrong, I take responsibility. And I apologize and I'll do amends to make sure I make sure that I do as best as I can to go back and do tshuva for what I did. A Jew is defined by associating himself with his actions and not trying to hide behind excuses. Taking responsibility for what you've done. That is a Jew. That's Yehuda. Yehuda took responsibility for what he did with Maaser Tamar, and we, who are we? Me, who you do? What is a Jew? A Jew is somebody who takes chizik from Yehuda, doesn't make excuses for himself, does what has to be done, stands up for what he believes is important, and if it's made a mistake, he will be the first one to admit to it and make amends. That is a Yehudi. Not somebody who makes anonymous calls. Not somebody who stands up behind cowardly and makes lies about some kind of thing in order to come to an end, which he believes is a shame shemayim. That is not Yiddishkeit. If you've got a lie, ma betza, you've gained nothing by doing this a shame shemayim. You've got to be able to stand up and stand up for your actions. Not always are the actions very clear. There's a beautiful piece over here, which I saw from the Dubna Magid. The Pasuk says, Shimon and Levi really got it hard. Pasuk says, Shimon and Levi achim. Perik mem tes pasuk hey. Shimon and Levi achim. Shimon and Levi are brothers. Klei chomas mechei reiseyem. Besoidom al tovei nafshi. Besoidom al tovei nafshi. Besoidom in their conspiracy. Do not include me. Bekoholom in their kehila. In their grouping. Al teichad kavoidi. What does teichad mean?
Miyachim.
Yeah, don't misyachim myself with me. Ki ba'apam horgo ish. Careful. Ki ba'apam holga ish, because with their anger they killed ish. Who's the ish over here? Ki ba'apam holga ish is Shechem. Good.
The whole people thereof.
Yeah, chamoiv anshe Shechem. Ubiritzainom, and with their rotzen ikru shoyer, they tried to uproot the shoyer. Which shoyer are you referring to?
Yosef.
Now look how the beginning of the pasuk ends at the end of the pasuk. It doesn't seem to make sense. Again. B'seidim atobin nafshi. In other words, you're talking about. What's seidim atobin nafshi? Says Rashi, seidim atobin nafshi is Maisa Zimri. Maisa Zimri, the story of Zimri and Shimon, right, from Shevi Shimon. Besoid matoba nafshi, with my soid, did not include me with what's going on with Shechem, with Zimri. But Kaholom, with Kaholom, Atechel Kvaidi, says Rashi, what's it referring to?
Koirach.
In other words, what happened with Zimri and what happened with Koirach don't involve me. Why? Ki, because. But Apam Horga ish, because with their anger they killed Shechem, and Ritzainam, and they wanted to get rid of Yosef. Don't include me in Maisa Zimri and Maisa Koirach, because they try. What's the key here? What's Pshat in the key? What's Pshat in the Pasuk? Don't involve me in this because they wanted to do that. Because don't include me in this because of what they did something wrong. What's the key? You understand? What is it? What's the because over here? Don't involve me in the various they did later, because they did other various. What's the shaykhus? Number one. Number two, Asa Arachayim HaKadosh, why does it talk about Besoidim HaTov Nafshi is talking about the Maisa of Zimri, yeah? Bekom HaTeichel Kvod is talking about the Maisa of Koirach. What happened first? Zimri, the Maisa of Zimri, of Koirach happened 39 years before the Maisa of Zimri. So why did Yaakovina first talk about the Maisa of Zimri, then talk about Maisa of Korach? Should have talked about Korach first, happened 39 years beforehand. So the Dona Magid says, a gewaldige yesod. And he says it's based on the Gemara we heard from Rav Litzke not so long ago, the story of, it brought down Eni Vivomus, about Rav Chanina Choyfa Boiris, Choyfa Sichin. The Gemara talks about over there, Yeah, the Gemara says, Tana Bona, Maisa Bebitish on Nechunya Choyfa Sichin. The story of Nechunya, who would dig up pits of water that for the people coming to do Alila Regal, the Gemara Nivamas of Kufchof Aleph on the base, Shanofla Labora Godel, that his daughter fell in there. Ubo Vahidia Rechnina Ben Doisa, and told Rechnina Ben Doisa, no, say to him, do something. The daughter of this man who dug Boris is stuck in the boat, she's going to die. Omalehem, Kitsa Omalehem also. Don't worry, she's fine. And the Gemara says, a Ness happened that she was saved. So they asked Chinim Daisa, how did you know? How do you know she's going to be saved? So Chinim Daisa said, Lo Novi v'le ben Novi anoicha, neither Novi nor my ben Novi. Ela dovo shehat tzadik mitz asik boy. Something that the tzadik got involved with. Yikoshel boy zaroi, will his children be nechshal through this? Will the children suffer through this? So he said, this person made so much mysterious nefesh to build these pits, to give water to Klal Yisrael. Will his daughter fall in and die through that? Not shaykh. It's not possible. She's going to be okay. That's Peshat in the Pasuk. Yaakov Avinu said to Shimon and Levi, after the Ma'aseh of Shechem, how can you do this? How can you chartim moisi? You put me in danger. How can you do this? So he said back to Yaakov Avinu, what are you talking about? It's a shame Shemayim. What a chil Hashem. How can we allow our sister to be raped by such a mushras? It's all the Shem Shemaim, it's Kiddush Hashem. It's all Kiddush Hashem. Yaakovina said nothing. He said nothing. But Yaakovina knew it wasn't fully the Shem Shemaim. Why? Because at that moment he saw what's going to happen later on with Zimri. Who is Zimri? Who is Zimri? Zimri is from Shevet Shimon.
Nossi
of Shimon. The Nossi of Shevet Shimon. If Shimon was all about standing up for the Chil Hashem of Znus, and that was totally the Shem Shemayim, nothing, no anger, no agenda other than standing up for the Shem Shemayim, how could it be that generations later his own grandchild was involved in Ma'aseh Zimri? Not Shaykh, that is totally the Shem Shemayim. It can't be, because if it would be totally the Shem Shemayim, there's no way Yekoshel Bezara, his children would fall into the same thing. So too with Levi. Why did Levi want to get rid of Yosef? Because Levi believed, like the other brothers, that Yosef was a Baal Machlekes. He is trying to split the family. In the other Avinu's family, the family split. Yitzchok took over, Yishmael and everyone else was sent away. In Yitzchok's family, the family was split. Yaakov took over and everyone else, and Yosef was sent away. Yosef is trying to make Machlekes of it. He's trying to be that special child. He's trying to sidestep us. He's trying to marginalize the family. He's trying to move himself on one side and us away. He's a Baal Machlekes. That's why he's going to Yaakov Avinu. And he's a Baal Machlekes. He's a Reidef. He's somebody who's trying to kill us in Olam Hazeh, Olam Habo. He wants to left no Shaykhus in Eretz Yisrael. He wants to take away our future in Klal Yisrael to be Klal Yisrael. He does not deserve to live. He's a Baal Machlekes. Levi, are you so sure about that? If you're so sure that you want to kill Yosef only because of the Shem Shemayim, how could it possibly be that you're Koshel Boizari? How could it possibly be that not so long later, your grandchild, Levi, is involved in Ma'aseh Korach? It cannot be. If you're the foolish Shem Shemayim over there, there's nothing wrong. There's no way your grandchild would have got involved. That's Peshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk said, B'soidim al-tobi nafshi. B'soidim al-tobi nafshi, which means, don't involve me. I'm telling you, I see. B'soidim al-tobi nafshi means, I see Ma'aseh Zimri. And I see what happened. I see the future, what's going to happen with Ma'aseh Korach. And therefore, I'm telling you what you did at the time of Shechem was, ki ba'apam ho go'ish. It was not the Shem Shemayim, it was your anger that got rid of Shechem. And it was your rotzen, it was your little bit of jealousy that tried to get rid of Yosef. I can see now that what happened with Zimri and Korach, that it was not fully the Shem Shemayim. Horaya? That's what happened, and therefore I can give you now Musa for what you did in Ma'aseh Shechem and for Ma'aseh Yosef. So the key over here is not because, but only. B'soyim atobin nashid, don't, why? Elo, because, elo, only, I see now that what you did previously with the Shechem and what you did with Shechem and Yosef was because it was not fully the Shem Shemayim, and I can see that with what happened with Zimri and Korach. And that's Peshat, that's why the Aruch HaKadosh Terus is answered. Why? Why do we talk about what's happening later of Zimri before Korach? Because it's talking about what happened chronologically within history. What was first, Shechem or Mechiras Yosef? Shechem came first. So it first talks about what Shechem, how proved Shechem was wrong. That was with Ma'aseh Zimri. Shechem was first, right? That was Ma'aseh Zimri. And then he gave the Musa for what happened in Mechiras Yosef. That was with the Ma'aseh of Levi. And therefore, Rabbi Yisai, to conclude, there are certain times it's very, very difficult to know what is right and what is wrong. And sometimes we are a little voice and tells us, Jesus, come on, do what's right. You know, this is a Shem Shemayim. if it's absolutely amasira, if there's no doubt in our mind, if that is what the Gedolei HaDor told us to do, then we have no sofik b'chlal. We go forward. And even if bas kol comes out min hashamayim, we ignore it. We know what to do. But if you have any sofik, if we don't know, if we don't have the masira, and I don't believe we have masira of spitting at women. I don't believe we have that kind of masira. It's not something we have. If that is the case, we don't have that masira to do that zerizus, to do that kanos. One chas v'sholem lose everything one has in ruchnius. That's the first idea. The first idea is, if you're sure, carry on. If you're not sure, pachas kamayim al toisa. Don't run away with yourself. Number one. Number two, there's certain times where we don't know, we can't ask. You'll know later on, what are the results? If the results ultimately were good, and we can stand up for these results, and quite clearly, it was a good result, and we're not covering up, and not lying, and cheating, and pretending it wasn't us, then we can know it was a good thing what we did previously. But if ultimately the result is such that we've got to make a apologize, and you've upset people, and you've shaken the whole kaleidoscope in the extent where clearly there's an avera later on, then it's clear the averas were earlier as well. And other abba, if there's a mitzvah comes later on, and the mice something good came out of it, then we can be quite sure that that good will not only help us for this generation, but like this Vot says over here, will help us for future generations. Our good decisions, based on what we do now, if it's a Shem Shemayim, we can be assured that our children will be Dovish Nisasik, Shesadig Isasik Boy, Yekoshel Boy Zaroi. There's no way our children will Chas V'Shalom fall into this. And if Chas V'Chalila, we do make mistakes, and if Chas V'Chalila, we aren't doing what we should be doing, we should be the first ones to stand up and be a Jew. And be a Yehudi. And be from Shevet Yehuda. And acknowledge that that is our responsibility. We did it wrong. Don't make excuses. Chas V'Shalom, don't make excuses. Stand up for what you believe was right, and apologize if it was wrong. And this is this week's parasha. It's all about Yaakovina giving the fine lessons of what's going to give us survival in Golus. With all the hest upon him, with all the choshech, with all those people who are standing up and saying L'shem Shemayim, what is really L'shem Shemayim? What is really Das Torah? What is really going to bring us to a level of Chazak Chazak V'Nis Chazek?